you so much for being here. We're so glad to be with you, and we thank you for this opportunity. Did you know the Bible contains sad words and glad words? Our study tonight, we're talking about glad words of the Bible. That word glad is the word for rejoicing, and the Bible places much emphasis on spiritual gladness. Our study comes from Psalm 122, where it is written, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I hope that you're glad to be here. Take out your Bibles and let's learn some glad words of the Bible.
The first glad word that we're going to look at today is the law being changed. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 18, it said, did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Another reference would be Romans chapter 7, verse 6 is another reference. You know, the law being changed allows us to go to heaven. Now that is something to be glad about.
Our second set of glad words that we'll be looking at comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Feel free to turn in your Bibles with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reads, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and now while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So our second set of words is, God so loved. Let's turn over to John 3:16. Nearly everyone knows this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So in Romans we read, God so loved us while we were still sinners. He didn't love us while we were Christians, yet he does love us now. But while we were sinners and were going against his commands, he still loved us and loved us enough to send his Son to die on the cross for us.
Again, some more glad words that we find in the Bible. We find the Christ and our Savior are glad words. In the fulfillment of the promises that we see recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, "And in your seed shall all the families of the world be blessed," we see the fulfillment of this promise in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, where God promised Mary a son. Verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." And in that same fashion, the day he was born, we see that in Luke 2, verse 11, it says, "For there is this day in the city of David born a Savior." And after he came, as he lived his life and as he fulfilled his purpose, we see that in Luke 19, verse 10, that it says that Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to save," to seek and to save that which is lost. And then we also see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23, that Christ is the head of the body, and the head of the church and Savior of the body.
Continuing with the theme of glad words in the Bible, we have whereby when ye read. If you'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and starting at verse 3, the book of Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 3, it reads, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the Son of Men, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." You'll turn a page over to the book of Ephesians, but this time chapter 5 and verse 17. We'll be reading that too. Ephesians 5:17 says, "See then that you walk or excuse me. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We see that we have to read to be able to understand what God wants us to do, because if we don't understand what God wants to do, if we don't hear the word and also read the word, we won't be able to spend an eternity with him in heaven.
Another group of glad words we find in the scriptures is I go to prepare a place, and we find that in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and we know from the context and other passages in the scriptures that he's referring to heaven. And there is a lot of beautiful passages about heaven, mainly Revelation chapter 21 and also chapter 22 comes to mind, and of course we could be here all night speaking of the greatness and beauty of heaven. But one of the great things that comes to my mind is that it's for eternity, and that we will be with God for eternity. In Revelation 22, verse 5, it says, "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever."
My glad word for this evening comes from Psalms 121. And it basically it says, "My help comes from the Lord." And I can't think of any better words to come from. Again, I'm going to read Psalms 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep you of your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore."
The prophet in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, he tells us another glad word. He tells us that we need to seek the old paths, that we need to seek the path of righteousness, and there's only one good way which we can go. Jeremiah carries this message to us, informing us that we need to, whenever we start our journey in this life, first ask, where should we go? Where does God want us to be? What path does God want us to be on? The old path, the right path. And the people who will lead you there, the message that they give that will give you a roadmap to get there, they carry with them some more glad words that we'll talk about in just a moment.
Continuing our study on glad words found in the Bible, I'd like to take a group, look at the group of words the saved added. Turn over to Acts 2, and we're going to look at verse 47. Acts 2, 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved." Those who were baptized on the day of Pentecost were added by the Lord to the church. Here we see that it is a very glad thing that the saved are added to the Lord's church.
Among these words of gladness, we have the word, the gospel, which I pray has brought much gladness to the brethren here. My verse will be in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The gospel should bring us gladness through the salvation that it gives us, so much to the point that we go out and spread it to those that they might enjoy in the gladness of salvation as well.
Three additional glad words in the Bible are repent, pray, and confess. Those are particularly glad words for someone who has fallen away. We read in Acts 8:22 that Simon the sorcerer was told his heart was not right with God after he had been baptized. He was to repent and to pray. Additionally, in 1 John 1:9, that scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Repent, pray, and confess. Those are glad words.
Brother Randy just mentioned the word confess. When we boldly confess who Jesus is, how do you think that makes him feel? If we read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, "Therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." It can't get any better than that. Where the Son of God himself declares, "That one is mine." May we joyfully always confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Continuing onward to our next word, Savior. The word originally translated is Soter, which means Savior, Deliverer, or Preserver. Now, in this case, in the Bible, we're not talking about getting delivered Amazon packages or an Uber transporting us from one place to another. In fact, we're talking about being delivered from something else entirely. If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. That is Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This while an angel is talking to Mary, and she, that is Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So what we're being saved for is sins. And as you all may know, the wages of sins is death. Also, I'd like you to look at 1 John 4, verse 14. That is 1 John 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. In this case, we have word to be glad for, Savior. And what are we being saved from? Sin, which the product of sin is death. And we are being saved from death, which means we are being brought to life.
On the topic of the Savior, through our Savior, we can do all things. What can we do? We can live, we can rejoice, we can have salvation. What the Bible does not say is that we cannot do any of this. More specifically, in Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me."
The next words are give and given. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same amount, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." God gives as we give.
In keeping with our theme of glad words in the Bible this evening, I would like for us to consider the glad words not in vain. If you will, please turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And it reads, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Much of what we do in our lives is in vain, but not our work in the Lord.
This is another glad word in the Bible. It's in John 14, 1 to 3. and has to see with this. Let not your heart be troubled. What a good moment for Jesus to tell his disciples. Jesus would die. Jesus would arise again. Jesus would ascend to heaven. And there is another thing. Jesus would come again. And this is the point, and this is the glad word in verse 3. You have to see with this. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again, and I receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a place prepared. Jesus will come again. Are you prepared?
Another glad word we have is rest. The writer, Hebrew writer, says in chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for us to keep that faith to the end. What a welcome word.
Continuing on the topic of glad words this evening, we have the words, "Come unto me," as stated in Matthew 11:28. And what a great invitation that is for us. It doesn't restrict who is to come, as noted in Revelation 22, verse 17, as it says, "Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And what a great feeling it is to know that he has invited us into his fold.
Also, another glad word that we can look at is the word ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 tells us, if you ask, and it shall be given unto you. And we know that if we don't ask, we can't receive. We should be glad for that.
Continuing on with our theme of glad words, our next glad word is actually the word glad. Let's turn over to the Psalm, the 122nd Psalm, Psalm 122. Verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Were you glad when it was time to walk out your door, get in your car, and come to the house of the Lord? It should be very gladdening and a joyous occasion when we are gathered together to worship our Lord.
As you can tell, we've talked a lot about a lot of fantastic words. All these words are words that really lift up a Christian's heart. And the word we're going to look at now, that is another one of these glad words that we're going to be looking at, is the word rejoice. And as Christians, we really should rejoice every day. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be thankful in our daily lives, because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We see that, here in Acts chapter 8, verses 39, the Ethiopian eunuch, having had his sins forgiven, having had his past sins forgiven, he came up out of the water, and Philip was called away, and he went on his way rejoicing. We also see that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we see the same concept. In verse 1 it says, "We are to rejoice in the Lord." Verse 3 it says, we who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ.
Continuing with our themes of glad words in the Bible, it is adoption. If you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be reading out of the first chapter in verse 5, Ephesians 1. In verse 5, and it reads, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This is such a glad word, such a happy word, such a cheerful word, because we see that we can be adopted into the Lord's church. And if we don't come together as a family, and if we don't assemble, then we will definitely not be able to come together as a family up in the heavenly places.
As was previously mentioned, there are a lot of glad words in the Bible, and another one that we find is all in reference to all blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3, it reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We see that all or every spiritual blessing is in Christ. And as we look at the scriptures, the only way that we can be in Christ is through baptism. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 verse 3 tells us that we are baptized into Christ. Also in Colossians 2 and verse 12, he tells us that we are buried with him in baptism.
Well, for one, I'm very glad to be here as well. But I do have another glad word for you, and it is apples. Apples is an interesting word when I got to looking at it. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs 25. It's a beautiful little verse there. And it is Proverbs 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11. And it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and a setting of silver. Beautiful words by King Solomon.
You're probably thinking our next glad word all on your own. That word is beautiful. Whenever we share the gospel with others on our life's path, when we're walking that old path, the scriptures tells us that in Romans 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's not just us in the preacher training or the regular preachers and teachers here at Mill Street. Every time you sing, every time you lead a study, every time you engage in prayer with an individual, you are sharing that gospel truth with them. And the Lord tells us that we carry the beauty of that message as we share it. How beautiful indeed are those who carry the glad tidings and the glad words of peace.
In addition to these previously mentioned glad words, another glad word is begotten. Turning over to 1 Peter 1 and looking at verse 3, it reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here, begotten means to give from above, like how we are given a lively hope from above. Also, turning over to James 1 and reading verse 18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here, it means to bring forth. Though the word begotten has many biblical meanings, that doesn't take away from the fact that it is a very, very, very glad word.
And continuing on with these, another phrase that should bring gladness to our hearts is, behold the Lamb. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and in verse 29, John the Baptist seeing Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The gladness that we should feel and we should know in having our sin taken away by the Lamb, and the gladness that John had as he proclaimed that, should ring true through the ages as we spread the gospel and bring that gladness to other people.
A singular glad word that we need to be aware of is the word better, which just simply means more valuable. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 23, Paul found himself in a strait betwixt two. He said it was better for him to leave here and go and be with the Lord, which was more valuable. The Hebrew writer records in chapter 8 and verse 6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Also, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which he was established upon better promises." Better, more valuable.
There is a glad word, which you might not even consider. And that glad word is blood. How do you feel about it? I don't do well myself when I'm around it, when I see it. But all of our lives depend upon it. Not just our physical lives, but above all, our spiritual lives. Writer of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 12 stated, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Now that is something to be glad about.
The next glad word we have today is book. Now, no matter how you feel about books, we're going to be talking about two specific books. First, starting off with the Book of Life. You can find the mention of this book in Revelations 21, verse 27. That is Revelation 21, verse 27. "But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now we can be very glad and hope that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what if you want to learn more on the Lamb's Book of Life or anything else written in the Scripture? Well, where do you go for such authority? Well, you go to Scriptures, or the Bible, which is another book. Going to 2 Timothy 3:16, maybe a familiar verse, maybe not. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Our next couple of glad words are in Him. If you turn to Acts 17:28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." A serious question you should ask yourself today is, would you like to try living without God, the one who gave you your very life?
Our next glad word is refresh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "For they refresh my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men." Also in Philemon, verse 7, it says, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother."
Furthermore, another glad word in the Bible for us to consider tonight is the word building. Please turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And it reads, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This building of God that we have is eternal life.
This is another glad word in the Bible. It's the word called. And do you know why it's a glad word? It is because it has to see with our salvation. We were called by the gospel. So let's read in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. What the Apostle Paul says, "To which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see the power of the gospel? We need the gospel for to be saved, and for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the gospel, we don't have nothing. But also, the Apostle Paul penned in Ephesians 4:1, he says the following, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So, we need the gospel for to be saved. But also, we need to have a good conduct or way of life in the gospel.
Let us consider a couple more glad words. There is laid up. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. If you would notice with me why it was laid up for Paul. Verse 6. "For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
This evening we've talked about glad words in the Bible. And aren't you glad that you came tonight to hear them? I know I am. Do you remember point 18 when Jesus said, "Come unto me"? We encourage you to accept that invitation, if you've not tonight, to pledge your obedience to Him in obeying the gospel. You've heard the word, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You must believe it, Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Be willing to repent of your sins. You just said in Luke 13:3, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." After you've repented, you must confess your faith in Him by saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," just like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and in verse 37. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38.
upon doing that, to remain faithful unto him all the days of your life, Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Maybe you've done that, but there's sin in your life. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:1-2. It brings forth death, James 1:15, and we certainly do not want to be in that state. You remember point 10? Those glad words, repent, pray, confess. If there's sin in your life as a Christian, you must do that so that you can be forgiven. If you need to obey the gospel, anyway, we bid you come tonight.